Excuse me. Last time we were here, we've been going through keeping our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, from Proverbs 4. We've been going through necessities for that duty. What we should, as God's people, be practicing in order to keep our hearts as the Lord has commanded us. And last time we started a lesson devoted to talking to our hearts, or speaking to our minds, and essentially what it boiled down to is us encouraging ourselves in the Lord by reminding ourselves of who the Lord is, what He has brought us from, and by meditating and thinking upon Scripture, right things, true things, honest things. And we want to continue that that lesson today. I don't know if you may remember a few lessons back, we talked about resolving to keep our hearts pure. And by way of making vows and resolutions. And one such resolution that I've kind of made recently, and the purpose of this I was in hopes that I would more intently read my Bible and be able to meditate more on God's Word throughout each day. One thing I've began doing is each day I've tried to at least pick one thought or one verse or maybe a couple verses that go together in my reading and write a few things concerning that. Some what I've called reflective thoughts on daily reading. And we came to this in my reading one day. I came to this verse in 1 Samuel, and it was the lesson we had last time concerning talking to our hearts was pretty fresh in my mind. But in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, it said, "And David said in his heart, 'I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.'" Now, last time in our last lesson, we actually seen the end, somewhat the ending of this situation, where David encourages himself in the Lord. And it took essentially a pretty swift kick in the tail by God for David to start thinking right. But here we see basically the beginning of David's wrong thoughts. And this is what I had wrote. I thought it was relevant to our discussion. This is what I wrote concerning this verse 1. It says, I wrote, "While Scripture reveals that speaking to one's heart is a necessary exercise in the Christian's life, the content of what is spoken to our hearts is of vital importance. Speaking truth to one's heart can be a means by which we overcome temptation and discouragement, but speaking lies or conjectures to one's heart may have the opposite effect." David in 1 Samuel 27 is an example of the latter. David's lack of faith in God's promise to make him king of Israel and his discouragements over the circumstances of his life resulted in a downward spiral of sorts that almost ended in David's own men stoning him. May the meditations of my heart be acceptable to God by contemplating on right and true things. I think we kind of brought that out a little bit in our last lesson, but it's not just about the fact that we talk to our hearts. It's about what we speak to our hearts. And today's lesson will be more so devoted to that than what our last lesson was. But it's still along this line of talking to our hearts, talking right things that we may be encouraged in the Lord. Turn to Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We want to begin reading in verse 4. We're going to probably look at a couple other places today, but you may want to keep your keep Philippians 4 marked, because we'll probably go back to it a few times. But Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Now that word careful, as probably most of us know, refers to being anxious, refers to being troubled by something. So in reality, this verse tells us to be anxious for nothing. Be troubled, be worrisome over nothing. Now, we may read this and our initial thought may be to say, well, that's easier said than done. And in reality, and it is. Especially for some. Some people just seem to worry about over everything, it seems. And just like our last lesson, we're not trying to be uncompassionate. We want to try to be compassionate with our lesson. But the reality is that most of the worries that people have are irrational. And it's over things that haven't happened, or most of those things never happen. Or we've built up the consequences of, if this does happen, how bad it will be. But especially for the saint of God, this is important, I think, for us to understand. Especially for the saint, any worry is irrational. Why, you may say? Because of who God is. But I don't just want to say that and end. That'd be a short lesson. You'd probably be happy if I did. But I don't think just saying that, in a lot of cases, helps. It doesn't seem. Now, in my mind, I feel like it should, but to a lot of people, it doesn't. There needs to be more. When you counsel someone who may have these irrational fears and worries, for some of us, and when I say us, I'm speaking of myself, the temptation is there to say, maybe suck it up and get over it. And to be honest with you, for the most part, I don't struggle that much with worry like some do. And now, don't get me wrong, I certainly have things that I do struggle with. And there have been times, although not very often, that I have succumbed to worry. But I'm really not much of a worrier. And because I don't struggle with that all that much, for a long time, my attitude was just that. Suck it up and get over it. But recently I've recognized that my attitude towards the worrier has been very wrong. While there is a sense in which it is true that the worrier does need to get over it and move on, the reality is, if they could, they would. The worrier doesn't want to worry. The fearful, they don't want to live in fear. The depressed don't want to be depressed. So if they could get over it, they would. That being said, the counsel of suck it up and get over it is, in most cases, not all that helpful. Now, there may be some times that a smack upside the head is all that is needed. Kind of like the case with David in 1 Samuel in chapter 30, where he encouraged himself in the Lord after God put some pretty trying circumstances before him to wake him up. But in most cases, there needs to be more compassion shown. Most need to be taught how to overcome that worry, how to overcome that depression. And the answer is not suck it up and get over it. The answer is not all these other things that people try to mask their problems with. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not all these other things that basically leaves one lifeless walking around like a zombie. And I think we showed some of how that is accomplished in our last lesson a little bit by encouraging ourselves in the Lord, by focusing on the Lord. But here today, we want to get a little bit more specific. Let me ask the worrier this morning, and let me ask those that maybe don't struggle all that much with worry, but even sometimes have had times of worry. How often do you pray during those times of worry? Now, chances are, in times of worry, maybe some of you do a lot of praying. Some may. And in talking to some who struggle with worry, some have told me that they do pray a lot during those times. But and they may even say something like, but God just hasn't delivered me from that worry. Now, if you have made statements like that, I understand that you probably didn't mean it like this, but I would say be careful how you state things sometimes. With such a statement, you are blaming God for your worry, your sin. And God is not to blame for your sin. He's not to blame for your worry. He's never to blame for your sin. The problem is not that God has not delivered you. The problem is that your focus has been all wrong. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, I ask again, do you pray in times of worry? And you may say yes. And if you say yes, you might come to the conclusion that since you do pray during times of worry, that you haven't forgot about God. And if you remember in our last lesson, that was one of the reasons we said that we do succumb to fear and worry and doubt is because we have forgotten about God. And again, if you do pray during those times of worry, in one sense, that may be true, that you haven't completely forgotten about God. But in another sense, I'm not so sure that it is. Let me ask another question. Now, stay with me. I got a point here. Don't fall asleep. Maybe you say that you do pray in times of worry and distress. But do you rejoice in times of distress? Verse 4, here in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It does not say sometimes, rejoice in the Lord. It does not say when you are not in times of trouble, rejoice in the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. Never cease. As a child of God, let me ask, do you have something to rejoice about? Newsflash, you have a multitude to rejoice about. Psalms 116, verse 12, which was one of the verses we gave you last time as an example of one speaking to themselves. It says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? It seems like when we have one thing not going our way, we forget about all the other things that God has put to bless us, has given us to bless us. But how many times when you are discouraged about something or when you are worrying about something, have you gone to the Lord in a prayer of thanksgiving? Now, from my personal perspective, my personal experience, that has almost never been the case in my life. When I've been discouraged and I go to the Lord, do you know what my prayers typically consist of? It consists of me basically telling God how awful my circumstances are and what I want Him to do about it. How prideful and self-centered of me. No wonder I remain in distress when that's my reaction. Because I'm not properly recognizing God. Now, I may not have completely forgot about Him. I've went to Him in prayer to complain. But I'm not properly, I'm not rightly thinking upon God. Look at what this says, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, notice the remedy here. Encouraging yourself in the Lord. And prayers of thanksgiving are one way of doing that. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Now you probably thought that prayers of thanksgiving was for God. And in a sense it is. We do glorify the name of God when we do that. But prayers of thanksgiving are for the saints of God. And for our benefit. When we are remembering to thank the Lord, you are probably going to forget about your complaints of the Lord. And when you complain, that is ultimately what you are doing. You're complaining of God. Now, you might blame it on everyone else or your circumstances, but you're blaming God in reality. Listen, you are not going to add one cubit to the glory of God by your prayer of thanksgiving. God is all glorious already. But what you are going to do is you are going to get yourself in a right frame of mind to endure those trying circumstances of your life. God may not take your trial away, even when you do come to Him with thanksgiving. And by the way, He's not obligated to. We need to realize that. He has the right to do whatever He wants with our life. But it is in this thanksgiving to God that you remember that He will be with you all the way, regardless what He does allow to take place in your life. And He will deliver you either in life or in death. Either way, you're better off. The Lord has blessed you. Again, keep your place. Turn to Psalms 34. maybe my favorite psalm, and I probably may read all this chapter. But a wonderful psalm, I believe. Psalm 34, look at verse 1. Says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cries of the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Here specifically, we see how one is to encourage themselves in the Lord through prayers of thanksgiving and through properly remembering God. I'm just going out on a limb here, but I'm pretty sure that even though you may be struggling with maybe some sort of illness or some sort of trial or difficulty or hardship, I'm pretty sure that you still have something to be thankful to God for. And if we truly took a proper inventory of our lives, I think we would actually notice that our lives are full of far more positives than that of negatives. But what do we often dwell upon? The negative. And in the midst, we never seem to thank the Lord for all His benefits towards us. And we never really consider God's right to allow or not allow something to take place in our lives. Back over in Philippians 4, and then we're going to go back to Psalms here pretty shortly. But notice, as we are grateful, and as we are thankful towards the Lord, there's peace. Verse 6 again, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord, when we are truly found to be a thankful people. Even in the midst of difficulty. Another vow that I've fairly recently started is it's a pretty ambitious vow because I think I should have shortened it a little bit. But I set out to each day write down five different things each day, and I can't not to repeat from previous days, five things that I'm thankful to God for. And I've found here lately it's getting really difficult because I've been doing it for about 2 months now, and I have to think more and more each day. But As I've done this, I've noticed that I've started to be thankful for things I've never gave thought about, hardly. I've actually thanked the Lord for commodes in the process, who has purposefully thanked the Lord for commodes in their life. I never have until just the past few months. But we forget to thank God a lot of times. And I think that's where we lack in our walk with the Lord quite often, especially if we're found being discouraged and in doubt. Turn to Psalms 145. Look at verses 1 and 2. Psalms 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I'm afraid that this is where most of us lack in our walk with the Lord. We fail greatly when it comes to blessing and praising the name of God. And as a result, we are often found ungrateful, discontent, and discouraged. I want to give another quote from Charles Spurgeon. I'm sorry for all the Spurgeon quotes lately, but I recently got a Spurgeon Bible, and I've been seeing a bunch of good ones. Typically, what's happened is I've already prepared my lesson, and then in my typical just daily reading, I'll read what he has to say, and I was like, well, that goes right along with my lesson, so I'll add it in there. But anyway, here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon in relationship to Psalms 145, verses 1 and 2. He says, if we were asked, do you pray? The answer would be quickly given by every Christian person, of course I do. Suppose there was added, and do you pray every day? The prompt reply would be, yes, many times in the day. I could not live without prayer. But what if the inquiry changed to, do you bless God every day? Is praise as certain and constant a practice with you as prayer? I'm not sure the answer would be so certain, so general, or so prompt. We might have to stop a little before we gave the reply, and I fear in some cases, when the reply did come, it would be, I'm afraid I've been negligent in praise. In that case, have we not been wrong? Should we omit praise any more than we omit prayer? And should not praise come daily and as many times in the day as prayer does? To fail in praise is as unjustifiable as to fail in prayer. Now, if we take this lesson to heart today and begin to try to praise God more, speaking to our hearts, meditating on the things of God in the right manner, as you actively and thoughtfully and purposefully set out to do that, to be a more grateful and thankful people, that doesn't mean that you'll never ever worry. But it does mean that you probably won't stay discouraged. And you probably won't remain in that state of worry very long if you put this into practice. Because as verse 9 in Philippians 4 says, the God of peace shall be with you. Again, it goes back to forgetting God, or probably better stated, not properly remembering God. And that's where talking to our hearts is so vital, so important. Preaching to our minds is so important in the life of a child of God. We need to be constantly rehearsing in our minds the truth of the Word of God, hiding these things in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And as true, as honest, as just, as pure, and as lovely things of the Lord fill up our minds, the less that worry and fear can fill up our minds. And as we kind of pointed out last time, and we just kind of made a passing reference to it, but you know, talking to yourself, it does it in this manner, in the right manner, thinking upon the right things of God, is not just a help in overcoming discouragement. It's a help in overcoming all types of sin. Talking to yourself, you could by meditating and thinking rightly upon God's word can help you overcome temptations to do the wrong thing. When we remember, if we're maybe tempted to lie, we remember what does God's word command? It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so we think rightly upon God's word in a way to deter us from all types of sin. In reality, this lesson is a call to meditate and to meditate properly on the Lord, His Word and His promises. We should be striving to have the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to the Lord by speaking to our hearts, by speaking to ourselves, by preaching to our minds the truth of God's Word. Not just about any old thing, but reminding ourselves of the greatness of our God. That He is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us. And that He does deliver us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He delivereth us out of them all. We should be rehearsing in our minds constantly the truths of Scripture. And may I add, be doing this now. Maybe you're not struggling with discouragement at this current moment. Maybe you're not struggling with worry or sin, a particular sin or anything. But be doing this now, not just when you're discouraged or fearful, but be constantly encouraging yourself in the Lord for when those temptations do come, you'll be ready. You'll be ready to fight it with God's Word by continuing to do what you have been doing, meditating on God's Word in the right manner. If you put this into practice, I'm convinced that not only will you be discouraged less often, but when you are, you won't stay there very long. Let people call you insane for talking to yourself all they want. But stay encouraged in the Lord by talking to yourself, talking to your heart constantly about the truth of God and His Word. That's our lesson. We pray that the Lord may use it for His honor and for His glory.